7654321.
You'll never have the sacred stone.
Oh, this you crazy mother.
Hello, monkeys, and welcome to the Live Wild or Die podcast. I'm your host, Monkey Dan. On our 8th episode, we have Matt Schifferle from the Red Delta Project. This guy's got like over 60,000 subscribers on his YouTube channel. He's got these great little videos. Most of them are 2 to 3 minutes long. These little nuggets of just, it's information that it makes you think a little bit differently and just see things from maybe a different perspective. So I really appreciate his approach. I've known him for a few years now. We've met up in Denver, worked out together, and he's been a monkey for quite a few years as well. So give us a few minutes to kind of warm up and get the conversation flowing. And then I really think there's some gems in here. So appreciate everyone listening. And again, if there's topics you'd like to hear or if you think you'd be a good guest, please shoot us a note, info@monkey.co. That's info@monkey.co. And here's the episode. Monkey on.
Well, today we have someone that we monkeys have known for, it's been quite a while, but Matt Schifferle. He is the owner, curator, creator of the Red Delta Project, which is multimedia from all these different angles of fitness. He's really this bodyweight guru, and I'm psyched to have him on the show and hear his thoughts on bodyweight training and kind of how he got to where he is now. So thanks for joining us, Matt.
Hey, Dan, it's great to have you, hear from you again, and I'm totally stoked to be on this podcast.
Heck yeah. And, you know, I was thinking about it, you're kind of an OG monkey. You had the original, what we call Monkey Bars Minimalist now, but we've known each other for quite a while, at least virtually.
Yeah.
Do you remember when you first got those first pair?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Dude, I saw your first Kickstarter, a friend of mine, because I've been building kind of a similar approach with my own equipment for years. And I'm always on the lookout of like, who's building the next one and what are other designs out there? And a friend of mine came across your Kickstarter and she was like, Matt, you got to check out what these guys in Colorado are doing. You might want to see this. And I saw it in like within 2 minutes of watching that original Kickstarter video. I was like, oh my gosh, this is the best thing ever. Like, I have got to get a pair of these. And so I even from there, I like tried to look you guys up. I wrote you an email that was like 5 pages long. Like, holy, I got to get in part of this. I got to do this. Like, what can I possibly do? Like, I'll come and do anything I can to support you folks. I'm like sharing the Kickstarter left and right because I was so excited about it. And the unfortunately though, I got introduced to the Kickstarter like an hour after it ended. So it had shut down. I was like, damn it. Like, So I was, that was part of the email. I was like, how can I still get in? Can I support you guys? What can I do? And, I was at the gym where I worked the following day talking with a friend of mine. And I was like, oh, I was just gushing about it. Cause he was always trying out my designs and stuff. And I was like, oh, these guys in Boulder, you got to check it out and everything. He's like, I found those guys yesterday. I got in on the Kickstarter, like, an hour before it closed. I was like, I got in an hour after it. Oh man. And he's like, oh wow. So like for the next few months, I was trying to just following the webpage, following the Kickstarter, watching the video all the time. And my friend came into the gym and he's like, I got a present for you. And I'm like, oh, like you make me cookies. Cause it was like around the holidays or something. He's like, better. And he hands me a pair of the original monkey bars.
And you still like, have them?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
And I was like, oh my gosh, this is the best. So I just tore into them and I've been using those ever since. And of course, Monkey Bar 2 came out, you know, and that totally got in my wheelhouse. And it's been a hell of a ride. And even from the first day, like just, it wasn't just the design of your product that I was always impressed with. It was always your message that told me like, oh my gosh, these guys get it. Like this Dan guy, he gets it. He gets the idea that it's about not just getting exercise, but making it so much more about freedom and getting outside and doing things your own way and enhancing your quality of life rather than getting anchored to a routine or a gym or anything that kind of keeps you in place, that limits your mobility in your lifestyle. And not to say there's anything wrong with that. I mean, hell, I work in gyms, but I've always loved the message you guys put out of the autonomy and the freedom and creativity of use your environment, see what you've got at your disposal, be proactive in your training, and have a lot of fun with it. And I don't think there's enough of that message going on out there in the world of fitness in general.
Absolutely. And that's, you know, that's why I wanted to have you on the show is why don't we take folks back a second, and why don't you talk about the Red Delta Project, your background, how you started it, just kind of your philosophies.
Yeah, I had a really unusual background with the whole thing, because growing up here in Vermont, like for the longest time, working out was almost this underground culture here. Like even in the 90s, it wasn't something that people did. We had a gym in my high school, a weight room, and I never even knew it was there until my junior year, because no one used it. No one was allowed to use it. There's only like one gym in town, and the only reason that you would work out or exercise was either you were a very competitive athlete or you were a full-on like bodybuilder. And so everyone around me in this little Vermont town and my friends, if you started working out, they'd look at you like you had two heads. Like, what are you doing? And when I got started with fitness, like I got the bug when I was kind of like 14, 15 years old, I was like, all right, what do I do? And it's like looking out into this wasteland, fitness options, which now, of course, I look at like the open wilderness. Hello, that's the best thing ever. But there was no internet back then. There were no role models. There were no books that I could get. And of course, I didn't even know to look for them. So I was like, well, what can I do? And so I was like, well, I guess I can do push-ups and I can go outside and run. And that was always fun, because I would go out running and my neighbors would like stop me and say, what are you doing? Like, are you late for the bus or something? Did you miss the bus to school? They couldn't understand that I would just go for running for recreation. So that's kind of my environment that I was growing up in all through high school and even into college a little bit. But I always had this deep desire to want to work hard and change my body, because I grew up as a very skinny kid, very weak kid, never being good at anything physical at all. I played basketball in junior high, and I think my season high was scoring 6 points, like in the entire season, not in a game. Season.
Something's better than nothing.
Exactly. But I always had this love of just pushing myself and working my body hard. So for the majority of my training career, that always seemed to be very much of a challenge of how do I make my body work hard? How do I push myself? Because it was always hard for me to do, not just from a, it takes hard work to do that, but what kind of resources do I have? Or what kind of abilities do I have around me? Because I'm looking around, there's no gyms, there's no weight sets. You don't go down to the store because there's no store and buy a weight set because there's no weight sets, there's no Amazon, there's nothing. So all I knew at the time was what I learned from my background in training in Taekwondo, which I'd been doing since I was 10. And so I kind of put stuff together here and there. But again, in that scenario, if you wanted exercise, you either did manual labor, like help Farmer John out with his field, load hay or something, or you did athletics, which I sucked at. So I always was between this rock and a hard place of I want to work out, but how can I possibly do that? And when I got to college, that kind of turned things a little bit around, because at college there was this thing called a GYM, G-Y-M. I think other people call it GYMS.
Great Simpsons reference.
Yeah, but I finally like, oh, a GYM. And it was only cardio. It was this small little classroom that they had converted with some treadmills and exercise bikes. And there was this new device there called an elliptical, which always had a line out the door in order to use it. And getting in this little cardio closet was the first time in my life I was able to like push myself proactively and make myself really work hard. And boy, I just loved being able to do that, because finally I could do something to change my body. I could put some effort in and get a return back. And for somebody who had been struggling to do that for the better part of my youth, this was like heaven, absolute heaven. So I was in that gym every single day and just loving it. Plus, around that time, I got introduced to this thing called mountain bike racing. And that was even better because mountain bike racing is like cardio on steroids. You basically get on your bike and you go redline as hard as you possibly can through the woods until you either collapse, die, or cross the finish line. And again, for someone who'd always been trying to work their body, it was the best thing in the world. So that was through college and stuff. But there, at the same time, I was becoming very much aware of this give and take between pushing myself and working myself hard and my quality of life. Because I found that the harder I wanted to work and the stricter I wanted to make my other lifestyle habits, because I got really into strict, super clean eating and very, very strict like lifestyle habits, like when I went to bed. I wanted to maximize everything as much as possible. But again, growing up in an area where that wasn't really the thing, like none of my friends really understood it. My family supported me, but they were kind of like, Matt, it's okay. You can have a piece of chocolate cake. Don't worry about it. And I would be freaking out because I had a hot dog for lunch or something. And so there was always this tug of war between having autonomy and freedom to just live life kind of in a carefree manner versus wanting to maximize my health and fitness as much as possible and lock down every aspect of my life from the moment I woke up, like every day's planned out to the minute, which is great until, you know, life happens and suddenly it's like, well, there's a snowstorm. You can't get to the gym or you don't have a regular lunch that you can have and stuff. So it was always very stressful for me between maximizing my habits and trying to just have more of a loose approach where I could go out and have dinner with my friends and not worry about every little thing on the menu. So the stress was always back and forth where it's like, all right, I'm gonna kind of just not worry too much about what I'm eating. And I'm going to let my workout slide a little bit. And it was a stress relief because I could just have fun and not worry about every single day. But then I would get frustrated because I'd be losing some of my progress and feeling out of shape. So I'd be like, all right, back on the wagon. And then I'd start getting super strict about my diet and super strict about my workouts. But then I would get stressed out over, you know, real life trying to impede and get in the way. So one of the examples that, to give you an example of what I was talking about, was in my later year at senior year, I discovered there was another gym at UVM where I went to college, which had these things called weights. And I was like, weights? Oh, you mean like bodybuilder stuff? And my friend was telling me about it. And he's like, yeah, you know, you lift it to make your muscles bigger and stronger. I'm like, well, I certainly like the sound of that. I'd been doing nothing but cardio for the past several years. But this was really kind of a, like, the cardio room was in a closet passing pretty much. The weight room was in an attic. It wasn't like this nice fancy gym that they have now. It wasn't even on maps and there were no signs there. It was the kind of situation where you had to know where it was in order to find it. And you had to have the right people and the right contacts. And it was like you go up and you knock on the door and give the password in order to enter kind of situation, because it wasn't a very big weight room. So they didn't exactly make it public. So I got up there and the last month of my semester of junior year, I was just playing around with weights and of course doing everything wrong. I was, you know, pull downs behind the head and just spending all my time doing curls and pec fly machines. And I was like, this is great.
Feels so good though.
And
they're used to it at least.
Yeah. But when summertime hit, I was, I had this sensation that I need to keep doing this in the summer. So I asked them, like, what are the hours during the summer? And they're like, yeah, we have gym hours during the summer. I'm like, great, I can use a gym. What are the hours? I said, 2 to 4, Tuesday and Thursday. And I'm like, you're open 2 a.m. to 4? What? Huh? And they're like, no, you have a 2-hour window twice a week to get your workout in. If you miss that, you don't get your workout. And all summer long, that was my number one stress, of getting to that gym during that 2-hour window. and I almost never could make it work with my work schedule. So that was kind of my situation for most of my training. It's like, well, you can maximize your health and fitness, but your quality of life is going to suffer. Or you can just not care about your health and fitness and just live carefree and eat whatever you want and do whatever you want, but your health and fitness is going to suffer. And I was always kind of back and forth between the two. Like, no matter what I do, I can't win.
So, right. Well, I think that's so common. And it's such a struggle I think a lot of people have, where it's kind of this all or nothing mentality where, you know, mm-hmm. I think that's a good segue into where you are now, right? I think.
Yeah. So real fast forward, long story short, eventually I got burned out. And instead of quitting, I started to ask a very important question, which was, instead of trying to figure out what works in health and fitness, like what's the best diet or workout program, I started to ask what's necessary. Like, what do I absolutely have to do to build muscle? What do I have to do to have a healthy diet and stuff? And this took me down the journey that I'm on now, where I took a very principle-based approach to health and fitness. And what this did was it gave me the best of both worlds, was it gave me both the ability to pursue my goals in fitness and getting stronger, but it also gave me the freedom and flexibility to alter my habits however I needed to live a high quality of life. So if I was on vacation, I could still work out. If I was in an all-you-can-eat buffet, I can still have a pretty healthy diet. No matter what life throws at me now, it doesn't derail my ability to keep moving forward. It's not high-maintenance fitness. It's low-maintenance fitness. So I get the best of both worlds. I literally have my cake and eat it too. And that's how the Red Delta Project came about. And at first, it was based very much around very efficient, economical strength training practices, especially with weights. Did a lot with kettlebells for a while, ground-based lifting. But eventually, the idea of bodyweight training came across my table. And that's when things really started to light up, because there's nothing that offers more freedom and efficiency than just moving your own body through space. And I was getting more results and easier results from a simple pull-up bar than I was from a gym full of equipment. And it's been a hell of a ride ever since. It's been a lot of fun, but still learning a lot every single day.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, it's just, I really enjoy having these conversations with folks, because, you know, I was totally in that same mindset of that all or nothing mindset. And I think what flipped the switch for me was I spent, in between my junior and senior year of college, I spent a year, basically I lived in the wild. I was a wilderness ranger, and you know, I was lifting like rocks and logs, and but I mainly was doing bodyweight stuff, doing a ton of pull-ups, push-ups, pistol squats, just whatever I could think of. And I came back to school that fall. I was the strongest I'd ever been. So I think that was my really my real eye-opening experience.
Hell yeah.
And you know, there's just bodyweight training is it's a very, very deep rabbit hole. So, you know, you've put out hundreds of, is it thousands yet? How many videos do you have up on your YouTube?
We're coming up on 1,400 videos at this point. Wow. With probably about 10% of that being of any decent quality. I've been doing the Red Delta Project for 10 years now. And the first few years were kind of just getting my feet wet and exploring technology. Like, if you look at some of my older videos, like I talk about how to do push-ups to get stronger and stuff. And a lot of the comments are like, you couldn't have shown us what to do. Like, you couldn't have just shown us doing push-ups or anything like that, because I didn't know how to edit at that point of like how to like do cut screens where I would be talking and have B-roll of me doing a push-up or anything. It was turn the camera on, face it, and talk. That was all my videos were, because I didn't know how to do a decent edit and everything. So sure. I'm still learning that. That's always technology's always been kind of my Achilles heel. But the it's getting better. It's getting more informative and progressive for sure. But the point with a lot of RDP stuff is that when you discover a lot of the rules of autonomy and doing things kind of your own way, you relieve a lot of stress and you get a lot of independence. But that independence actually unlocks a lot of your own potential. And so instead of doing things your own way, holding you back for before when it was like, well, you can either do what you like in your daily life or have health and fitness. Now they're complementary to each other. Like I can do what I want. I can eat how I want to eat. And it not only doesn't hold me, it hold me back, but it's actually accelerating me forward and helping me make even faster progress than before. So it's very liberating.
Right. And it's so funny how, you know, it's almost like the mindset is more important than the actual training. That's David, who's the Monkey co-founder. Him and we went to school together. We fought fire together. You know, we've really been talking about this idea of this monkey mindset. And I think it fits perfectly into what you just described of it's this liberating, it's freedom. And it's really just because of a mindset. It's not necessarily what you're doing physically, but it's just choosing to maximize your current situation, if that makes sense.
It totally does. And you are so right, Dan. And this is something I've been rediscovering for the past couple of months, is the mindset and the attitude you bring to the training is so crucially important versus the minutia stuff, like how many sets, how many reps, what kind of push-up builds the inner pecs or whatever. That stuff isn't bad, but it's rather trivial, because if you take an individual who has like, oh, this will never work and I can't do anything right, and they've got no like aggressive views about I want to make something happen, I'm going to pursue what I want and everything. If they don't have that kind of attitude, they're not going to get very far, regardless of the tools or the methods that they're using. But as you proved, like you came into the wilderness there that summer with an attitude of I'm going to make this work and I'm going to push myself and I'm going to have fun and I'm going to get creative. You had like woods and rocks and logs and something maybe to hang from, and you made it work for you, which is why I tell people, when you understand the mindsets and you understand the principles, you'll make anything work for you. You don't have to worry about having the perfect meal on your plate. You don't have to worry about finding the ultimate gym every time you go on a business trip. You just look at whatever you've got and you're like, yep, I can make this work. I'm good. And there's a calmness and an independence that comes with that mindset, plus a lot of power too, in knowing that you can do things. Because a lot of people, they feel like I can only make progress when everything is perfect, that all or nothing mindset. And as soon as one little thing derails their mindset, like they get a sore ankle or it's too cold out or whatever, it just, it derails everything. They're like, oh, I can't do anything. It's hopeless. And yet, if you've got the mindset of I can make anything work and I know what I'm doing, then you're unstoppable. And it's very, very empowering, and it's very exciting too, to be like, hey man, I'm going to win. It doesn't matter, you know, the situation. It's not a question of if, it's a question of when. And I can't think of any better way to go into every day knowing that this is going to work one way or another. I'm going to make it work. Very empowering.
Absolutely. And so kind of rewinding just a little bit. So you kind of got into this weightlifting, weight training environment. And then what was your transition over to now? Do you purely train with just body weight?
Yeah. Yeah. It's been body weight for, better part of the 10 years now.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And it wasn't intentional. It was actually kind of a gradual transition because I was always about efficiency, but for me, efficiency meant free weights and simplicity in that regard. So for most of my training history up until I was about 30, I was all about, well, at first I was all about every gadget you can imagine. There was a gym that opened up near where I was living at the time, and they had tons of machines and every gadget all the latest toys and everything. And I practically begged them to work there just because I wanted access to those toys. And over the course of about 18 months, my training got simpler and more refined to the point where I wasn't really using any of the toys anymore. I was just in the little free weight corner, and that was about it. Dumbbells, dip bar, and pull-up station. That was about all I was using. So I was focusing on the free weight stuff for about 5 or 6 years, kind of a powerlifting approach, deadlifts, bench press, overhead press kind of deal. Again, not really having much of an idea of what I was doing because I fell into that mindset and that mentality of just put more weight on the bar. Like the whole point is put more weight on the bar and strive to do a certain number of reps. That was my entire game plan. And over the course of time, in order to do that, my technique started to erode. I was using cheating repetitions. I am embarrassed to say it, but I started to become much more of a half repper because my mindset was all about that weight. Just get more weight on the bar. That's the only thing that matters. And did it work? Yeah, it wasn't the worst approach out there, but it really started to beat me up quite a bit. Joints, my knees had always been bothering me, my shoulders, my hips, my knees, my feet, my back. Things were starting to really beat me up. And at one point I was doing an overhead press and I felt a pop in my right shoulder. And for the next several months, I couldn't hardly do anything with my right arm as far as weight goes. I could pull, but I couldn't even push open a door. I was very frustrated. I was just like, I'm going to hang this whole thing up. Like not just the training, but working in the fitness field. I'm done with this stuff. And at that point, the book Convict Conditioning came across my desk and I was kind of flipping through it. I'm like, I don't really know about this. This does not seem right. Like, how can you possibly get stronger without weight? That's just bull. And I was like, well, I need to take a break. My body's telling me I need a little bit of I was so burned out. So like, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do this program, the Convict Conditioning Method, for about a month, not touch a weight, and that'll at least maybe heal me up, and hopefully I won't lose too much progress on anything. Well, by the end of that month, I felt way better. My body felt a lot better, but every measurable metric that I had was going through the roof. I looked better. My strength in every activity I was doing was way better than before. And I felt a lot better from my workouts. It wasn't like I was just dragging myself into the gym and saying, all right, let's get this over with. I was actually looking forward to my workouts again. So I thought, well, there's got to be something to this, but I'm still not sold on this whole body weight thing. I think sometimes people out there, they criticize me a little bit and say like, oh, I read Convict Conditioning and drank the Kool-Aid and he believed that all that nonsense. Like I didn't really, because after that month, I was like, all right, back to the weights. And what I started to do was I started to implement a little bit more of a wild philosophy of like, you know what? I felt I was probably pretty beat up because of the artificial nature of a lot of what I was doing. I reasoned like, you know, squats, they're very natural. But, you know, having 300 pounds on your back, how natural is that? Like we needed to invent a barbell. We needed to invent plates. We needed to invent a squat rack in order to do that. If I was in the woods, how would I squat heavy weight? Well, it'd be like a rock or a log, but I couldn't put it on my back. I'd have to carry it. So I'm like, all right. My approach was what I called organic weightlifting, which was I'm only going to lift the types of implements provided by Mother Nature, rocks, logs, pushing things around. I was pushing cars around a lot and stuff, and putting that together with body weight training. So I started to play with that for about a year or so, and that felt amazing. That felt so much better than anything I had been doing up until that point because it felt good to wrap my hands around the bark of a tree, right, or a rock in my arms. One of the real telling moments that I was onto something was I grabbed a rock that I had picked up out of a river, and I'm like, I'm going to lunge across this soccer field with this rock, and I got about – a quarter of the way through before I collapsed on the ground with my legs seizing up on me. I was like, okay, that's a lot harder than I thought it was going to be. So I started to do that for a while. I was lifting rocks and logs and everything. It was feeling really good. But here especially in Vermont, the inclement weather started to come in the winter. I was like, I'm going to train outside. This is going to be great. But that started to pose safety risks with ice on the ground, ice on the rocks and stuff. I couldn't get a decent grip. I was dropping it on my shins and everything. So it was like, I don't know if this is a really the way to go right now. Like, it doesn't make sense to take risks to my health. So, but at the same time, I started to really get more variety with the body weight training. Things like the TRX had come out. I had a jungle gym the Monkey Bar Gyms, Lifeline now, Jungle Gym XT, I think it's called. And I was playing around a lot with that, gymnastics ring style training. I was like, you know, if I really get thinking about it, when you incorporate a set of straps and a pull-up bar and dip bars, like, there's a ton of stuff that I can do with body weight training. But when it comes to organic lifting, I was kind of getting bored with it because I started to notice there's only three main ways I can relate to this weight. I can pick it up off the ground. Okay, I can carry it, like lunges and squats and stuff, and I can kind of push it up overhead. A lot of the stuff that I had been doing with free weights back before, it wasn't really that doable with normal objects. Like, I would sort of curl logs, I would sort of do flies with rocks. I tried doing bench presses with a log, but, you know, there's no rack, there's no bench, I'm laying on the ground, how do I get it up over me and stuff? So my attitude started to shift more towards, I can do a ton with body weight and it's a lot easier to adjust than lifting rocks and stuff. So every time I would pick up something external, I would think, yeah, well, I think I'd rather just do push-ups than this overhead press. And, you know, I'd rather do front levers than this carry and stuff. So that's when I started to get the mindset of, let me try and do the bodyweight thing exclusively for a little bit. I'll master it in a few weeks to a month, and then I'll go back to the weight stuff. Well, it's been 10 years now, and I'm like, dude, I'm so far from mastery on so many things. But it was a gradual transition, and that's usually what I recommend for people too, because I get emails all the time from people saying, I've been doing the weights forever. I'm feeling beat up. I'm frustrated. I'm burned out. I want to give the bodyweight thing a try. Still on the fence about it, not quite sure about it. So what I always recommend is, don't totally abandon the weights, first of all, and go more with an organic lifting style. And you don't need rocks and logs and stuff. What you just dumbbells, barbells, kettlebells, just
wives, girlfriends, anything.
Yeah, small children, pets. No joke. I had a guy one time email me. He's like, I want to get in shape, but I have nothing here. I'm like, what do you do? He's like, I'm a goat farmer. I'm like, how many are your goats? And he's like, well, some of them get up to over 100 pounds. I'm like, all right, you're going to lift your goats. You're going to carry your goat up the hill, you know? And he's like, well, I got to do that for work anyway. I'm like, great, let's make it a routine. But yeah, any sort of object. But the point of organic lifting is there's no supports. There's no bench. There's no rack. There's nothing holding the weight at a given position for you to get underneath it or anything. It's an object on the ground at your feet, and that's it. That's the whole idea behind organic lifting. And you can still do a lot with that sort of approach, and it's very healthy. It takes some knowledge and knowing what to do. I highly recommend things like kettlebell workshops, Olympic lifting workshops, to know what you're doing so you don't get hurt. But I would always tell people, mix the organic lifting with the bodyweight training. Also mix in things with the monkey bars or gymnastics rings or whatever else you have of that, to give yourself some variety, and also mimic some of the weight machines that you used to using in the gym. Because people often say, this is great, I love it, but man, there's nothing like a good set of chest flies, or there's nothing like curls for the biceps. It's very satisfying. Like, hey, with the monkey bars, you can mimic any sort of weight machine you can imagine. So throw those in with your classic weighted stuff, with your organic lifting, and that's going to create a pretty comprehensive program for you. Sorry with the cat here. And then if you feel like the pull to go more towards the bodyweight training over time, let it happen naturally. Let it happen organically. Don't force it, because oftentimes with bodyweight training, people force it and they're like, all right, no more weights. I'm going to go all with the bodyweight. And they're like, God, I really kind of miss the deadlifts. I really miss the kettlebell press or whatever. And they get, again, into that all or nothing mindset of thinking it's one or the other that holds them back. So they feel like it's got to be weights or it's got to be body weight. It's got to be one or the other. And I always say, mix it up. You know, most people are better off with both, just because that's what they like. That's what they produce the best results with. Go full body weight if it's calling to you, if it feels like it's your path. But if it's not, don't worry about it. You know, get a couple of kettlebells. Sure, you know, it's good for you. But if it's the thing, like for me, I just have a curiosity now of like, how much can I maximize this? How much can I really gain from just my body weight? And it's like in a science experiment at this point. So for me to mix in the weights would just kind of muddy up the science experiment. I have nothing against lifting weights. I'm just more of the attitude of I want to keep it pure for my own experimental purposes. But if that's your path, go for it. If not, don't worry about it. This is about having the freedom and autonomy to do things your way, not the way someone like me says is the best way.
For sure. And, you know, just listening to you right now, a few things that popped into my mind are, you know, with bodyweight training, you know, for me, I noticed I could do it every day. Obviously, within reason, if you do 500 pull-ups, you're going to be sore. But if you can do a decent amount of bodyweight reps every day and you can, you don't, you're not over fatigued, you're not overtrained, you recover quite well. So just as you were speaking, I was just thinking, I think for me, it's almost kind of like this baseline, the bodyweight training. It's this baseline, it's this natural organic movement that you should and could do every day at this relatively low intensity and fatigue level. And then if you need, if strength is part of your goal for whatever it is you're training for, you can kind of spice that in. But again, that body weight training is more of this kind of just baseline. Mm-hmm. And then I remember in 2011, that was the first time I actually used rings. And I remember my shoulders and arms were like the most defined they'd ever been, just from, you know, pretty simple workouts, a bunch of different variations of ring push-ups. And that was kind of what, where Monkey Bars came for, is we came from more of a ring angle. And that, if you look at Monkey Bars Minimalist and Monkey Bars 2, they definitely resemble, rings more than a lot of the suspension systems that were out there. And then Pocket Monkey now is something that I like to use at home. I use it every day. I wake up, boom, first thing I do is some rows, some different core exercises. And again, just thinking about it, it's that full body activation that I've noticed the most from using these different tools, and how compared to like a machine at the gym, you know, it doesn't matter if I'm doing a curl on Pocket Monkey, I'm still engaged basically head to toe just from having to stabilize that plank. So that's something I think often gets overlooked, and I overlook explaining the benefits. So I'm glad you sparked that imagination once again.
Yeah. See, the reason why I got so much more from the body weight training and to a degree also the organic lifting is I had that mindset of just put more weight on the bar for so long, or just get more reps. Because I know a lot of people in the body weight, when they start doing body weight training, they're like, just add reps, just more push-ups, more pull-ups and stuff. And I remember the first body weight workout I did because I had such a different attitude towards it of, how do I make this harder on myself? Like, how do I do this more effectively? Rather than trying to let something external put a force upon my body, my mind for the first time was, how do I use my body better? How do I make my muscles work better? And that attitude was such a turning point to me. And eventually I learned it's like, it's not so much what you do, it's how well you're doing it, how well you use your body. And one of the things I always loved about bodyweight training, especially like with like the monkey bars and stuff, is it gives you feedback on how well you're doing something. Because I could grab a heavy weight, try and pick it up off the ground, and mentally I'm thinking, well, as long as the weight is lifting up, then that's good enough. But when you start doing like archer push-ups or dips on the monkey bars and stuff, and all of a sudden your arms are starting to flail out to the side, that's a feedback of like your back's not tight enough, or your core isn't braced enough. And it's like, whoa, what's going on? Why is my body not moving the way I want it to? So you have to do some internal investigation mentally and say, what's not on? what am I not doing right here, and how do I do it better? And that is the real secret sauce towards keeping yourself safer, working your muscles more effectively, putting up a stronger athletic foundation. Like, everything you want is derived from your concentration and focus, not from just a heavy weight. Because if that concentration isn't there, going back to the whole mindset and the attitude we talked about before, if it's not there, you're not getting much out of your training, regardless of what the numbers are. But as soon as your mind is starting to think, how am I using my back to stabilize these dips? Everything changes, and for the better, for sure, for safer, for stronger, every way possible.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, what I wanted to ask you earlier was, you know, what does a typical body weight workout look like for you? Because I think a lot of folks listening, I know they're going to want to know a little more specific details. So could you share maybe a few examples of what a workout looks like for you?
Yeah, I've got a three-way split going on these days, which is basically like a body weight bodybuilding program. So it's very similar to what I used to do on the machines at the gym. So like today was back and buys, right? So I'll take the monkey bars, hang them up on a high overhead beam or something, and I have a superset of pull-ups, and it's usually like an archer pull-up or a very narrow grip pull-up, maximizing my range of motion, trying to get my lats to work as much as I can, top to bottom, biceps, forearms, and all that. Superset with rear flies, so rear shoulder flies on the monkey bars, pulling the handles apart, keeping the whole posterior chain turned on. Usually 8 to 10 repetitions of each, 3 sets, superset back and forth. So that'll light my back and biceps up pretty good. And then what I'll do is I'll superset single arm rows of my knees bent about 90 degrees, but my chest is facing straight up to the sky. Again, on the monkey bars, so I'm doing six to eight rows on each arm, keeping myself as stable as possible. Supersetting that with a set of bicep curls on the bars as well. So I'll just back up with the same bars that I had immediately after the rows and get some curls, usually 12 to 15 reps, get some high repetitions in. And again, 3, maybe 4 sets, depending on how I'm feeling for that day. And that's my back and biceps routine that I did this morning. So very bodybuilder-esque. It's got a combination of compound and quote, isolated or single joint movements, but it's very efficient and effective at working the pull chain, as I call it, the muscles responsible for pulling the arm closer towards the chest. Tomorrow will be chest and tries. So it'll be dips on the monkey bars, followed immediately by triceps extensions, where you lean forward and bring the bars close to your face. Again, 3 sets. And also have archer push-ups followed immediately by chest flies. And I've got a couple of videos of these workouts on my YouTube channel if people want to check that out, of the basic workout. But again, very simple, nothing complicated, but each set is focusing on how well am I working the muscles. And the neat thing about the monkey bars, of course, is you change your body position, you change the resistance. So I'll say, oh, it's not quite feeling it today, and I'll just step forward or shift my weight a little bit more to one side or the other, and suddenly I can dial in the exercise to be much more effective for what I'm feeling that day versus having like a weight, say, this is your resistance, you got to deal with it, best of luck sort of idea.
Right. Well, you know, it's interesting hearing you describe these workouts because, you know, I think a lot of people are sitting at home thinking maybe, oh, wow, that's not, you know, this ridiculous, crazy, you know, hour of punching yourself in the gut. They're simple, but they're effective. And I think actually you might have mentioned this on one of your podcasts, but I feel like there's a conversation going around now in kind of the general fitness area of this kind of shift away from this just exhaustion for the sake of exhaustion versus these smarter, more effective workouts where it's more about consistency versus just sweating and having your heart rate through the roof for an hour. And you know, that's something that I know a lot of big box gyms are. It's you're in this class for an hour and you feel like if you're not laying in a puddle of sweat afterwards, you didn't get your money's worth. But I think that's okay every once in a while. But, you know, again, this conversation that's going around, it's like the majority of your training should be in this anti-exhaustive mindset, so you can keep doing it more and more, and then every once in a while you can pour some gas on the fire and feel a bit more high octane. So it's encouraging to hear.
Totally agree. I think it's more important to have a lot of the variable with the intensity, because again, that toxic all or nothing mindset keeps rearing it, where there'll be an expert come out or a blog or something, and they'll say, this is the best way to train. And everybody will do just that one way or that one approach. So they'll just drive themselves into the ground with Metcons and exhaustion. And now I fear it might go the other way a little bit, where people are like, okay, save plenty of juice in the tank and don't push yourself to failure, and always leave, you know, a lot of the workout feeling refreshed. So the thing is, they're all tools and you want to use everything at your disposal. But you're so right. I think there's definitely, over the past several years, this attitude that's been cropping up in our fitness culture that's kind of the blood, sweat, and tears movement, which is kind of like similar to the no pain, no gain kind of approach, where the idea is just work yourself as hard as you can and hope it all comes out in the end. And pushing yourself is very good, but it's a very selective circumstances where it's productive. And I think that's more of where our mindset is starting to shift, is hard work is good, but productive work is what gets results. And sometimes productive work is pretty challenging, like riding my mountain bike, you know, in a race. That's pretty damn challenging. But it's more important for it to be productive. And just because you're busting your tail doesn't automatically mean it's productive, because the old rhetoric with transforming the body was that it's stress that changes the body. You know, your muscle gets stressed, it comes back, supercompensation, get bigger and stronger, or the diet is stressful and all these sorts of things. But my approach over the past few years has been that it's not stress that changes the body, it's education. It's the programming. It's what are you learning about how to use your body in a more productive way? And that's what happened to me during that first bodyweight workout, was I started to actually say, let me learn from my workout here. Rather than just trying to beat myself over the head and stress myself out, let me learn something about this. And when you learn and improve your mental capacity of how well you're using your body, that's where the real results come from. Sometimes that means being able to push yourself harder, sure. But a lot of times it means, how do you use your body better? And when that happens, you improve your proficiency and your skill at what you're doing, which again, bodyweight training, organic lifting and stuff, these are very skill-based forms of training. So having a skill-based form of training where you have to really think about what you're doing and learn endlessly about how well to do it, that's where your progress comes from. Not just beating yourself over the head with endless exhaustion, because you cannot infinitely scale hard work. I don't care how tough you are, you cannot just keep working harder, because you only have so much energy and time and discipline. But when it comes to skill and proficiency, that's infinite. You talk to anybody involved in a skill-based activity, and they'll say they can always improve and there's always more to learn, which gives you unlimited ability to progress to a large degree versus the very limited ability to progress when your strategy is, I'm just going to burn myself out and make myself work to death and then just get frustrated and quit 6 months or a year down the line. It's a very different attitude, much safer too.
You know what? I think those are some wise and wild words, and probably a good place to end.
Awesome, man.
What do you want to tell people real quick? So you have books out, you have a YouTube channel, you're on Instagram. Want to let people know where they can find you and check you out more?
Hell yeah. It's just Red Delta Project. I know, weird name, but if you look for anything Red Delta, as in the airline, and Project, you'll find my YouTube channel, the Instagram. If you go and just reddeltaproject.com, that's my website. You'll have links to all my books, the podcasts, and everything. And that's the best way to reach me. And of course, reddeltaproject@gmail.com if you want to shoot me an email and ask me questions.
I think that cut out, but it was reddeltaproject@gmail.com email?
Yes. Yep. Okay. Yep. Pretty easy to find me. And I'm always
right,
here.
Well,
drop me a line.
Yeah. Thanks for, you know, thanks for having the conversation. And yeah, this is, we should do it again sometime. I appreciate awesome. It.
Always great talking to you, Dan. Always look forward to everything you guys are putting out. It's an inspiring project you guys are doing. I thank you so much for all of your hard work and effort.
Appreciate it. We appreciate the monkey love. Take care, my man, Monkey On.
Take care, Dan.
Thank you, everybody, for tuning in to the Live Wild or Die podcast. Appreciate everyone listening. And again, if there's any topics you'd like to hear or anything you'd like for us to revisit, feel free to shoot us a note, info@monkey.co. You can hit us up on Instagram. We're at monkey, monkii.co. And we would really appreciate it as well if you could leave us a review on iTunes. That really helps get the word of the wild out there for those that need it most. Thanks, everyone. Monkey on.